And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Morning Drive, hour number three off and running here on this Tuesday. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, and Chase McCabe with you. Time to get back into your Tennessee Titans. We'll get to the Colts. We'll start previewing Sunday's game tomorrow. But in the meantime, really one more day to reminisce, to enjoy the success that was the beatdown of the New England Patriots. Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, will be joining us in a matter of moments. So one of the things we got to get to Baldy about is I was looking at his Twitter feed yesterday, and he's doing all these Baldy breakdowns. And we talked about Tom Brady having a bad day. But one of his first video breakdowns is Tom Brady basically seeing ghosts. Like Tom Brady just flat out going down when there was not pressure being applied. I mean, let's just call it what it was. Not only was that a beatdown on Sunday, but they had Tom Brady a little shaken up. Like, I think Tom Brady was like, all right, I'm calling it a day.
They hit him hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom, I mean, when you're 42?
41.
41.
86.
And you take those hits that he was taking, and it's not like they were, like, bad hits, but when you're 41, any hit is bad.
Yep.
Yeah, you start going down a little bit quick. Ask Eli Manning.
Yeah. All right, let's welcome in Brian Baldinger, NFL Network. Of course, the hashtag Baldy Breakdowns on Twitter. Baldy, good morning. How are you?
Say, Nick, Derek, how are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing good. Nice 24-point win over the Patriots. I want to ask you, you had a ton of breakdowns on Twitter with the Baldy breakdowns, and one of the first ones you got to was the pressure that was applied to Tom Brady and how Brady sometimes maybe saw some ghosts that weren't really there from the pressure. Just how good of a job did they do getting in this, not only getting to Tom Brady, but getting inside his head?
I think they did a good job, Nick. I mean, you know, Tom Brady, he went down the second play of the game. Second play of the game, and, you know, Wesley Woodyard hadn't even started breathing on him yet, and he went down. So perceived pressure, like Derek was just saying, I heard you guys talking just before he brought me on, but perceived pressure sometimes can be as dangerous as real pressure. But then they ran a lot of different schemes. I mean, you know, you're finding out that Dean Pease is pretty darn good, and he's really smart. But, you know, they had that look where they lined up seven guys all standing up, nobody with their hand on the ground, and trying to just give Brady, I mean, it's not the first time anybody's done that, but, I mean, just give Brady as much indecision as possible before the snap, who's coming, who's dropping, is it, you know, playing zone behind it, are they playing man behind it? So they gave him a lot of different looks, and I think that helped a great deal as well.
Yeah, you're right. I said the one thing that, and it seems like Dean Pease, other than any other defensive coordinator in the National Football League, he has this kryptonite or this blueprint when he plays the New England Patriots. Because when it was with Baltimore, it was the same thing where, you know, he would design defenses and it would frustrate Tom. Not to say that you're going to win each time, but if you make Tom's job hard and you frustrate him and you get him to thinking a little bit too much than what he wants to, then you are at a advantage rather being at a disadvantage. But you broke down a lot of the Titans offense the last couple of weeks. And what are you seeing particularly from the passing game that's working now? Because this is a team that we have been really critical of up until the last 3 weeks because they've been so inconsistent. But this last 3 weeks, this team has really, you know, put their foot on the gas and they're going now.
Well, I think a lot of things. Derek, I think right now, you know, I think, you know, obviously 34 points, the most that they've scored all year. So the defense is helping them out. They're giving them a good field position here. They're making a lot of stops. They're number one defense in football. They've given up the fewest touchdowns. So they're not really playing from behind. So if you look the last 3 weeks defensively, they just keep getting better and better against the Chargers, the Cowboys, and then last week. But I think you've seen a lot of formations. The touchdown throw to Corey Davis, kind of out of bunch formation, ran a little switch route. But he had time on that play to really make a little bit of, you know, had time to make some moves on Stephon Gilmore and to create a little bit of separation. So, you know, Mariota dropped it, you know, just like a little pearl drop out of the sky. It was a really nice throw. I think they've protected better. A lot more play action right now. I think they ran the ball better last week than they have in a while. So that was encouraging. You know, Deion Lewis has kind of been the starter, but, you know, you saw what Derrick Henry could do last week. You know, he really contributed. So they had a little bit of balance there. But I think you're just seeing a combination of everything right now up front, and they're letting Mariota throw the ball. It doesn't feel like they're throwing it on third down all the time trying to get first downs. So I think they're throwing it earlier in downs. I have to go check it, kind of double check that right there. But I think they're throwing it more on early downs than they had been.
When you look around the AFC, has the landscape shifted and changed since the first couple of weeks where we thought, hey, maybe this division is going to be a one-team division? Do we think that with the Titans and the Texans runs right here recently that there might be a chance at a wild card, or is this division going to beat itself up?
Well, you got a big game in Indianapolis this week. You know, I mean, Indianapolis is playing great football. Andrew Luck is not – I mean, he get touched last week. Hadn't been touched in a couple of weeks. That offensive line, they spent a lot of ammunition there trying to build it, and they're playing extremely well together. You better be able to cover tight ends this week because Frank Reich likes to throw to tight ends, and that's what Andrew Luck is doing. But, look, I mean, that AFC right now, I mean, Pittsburgh is razor hot. The Chargers are razor hot. Kansas City is hot. You can't take the Patriots out. I mean, we'll see how they bounce back. They will bounce back. You know, there's six or seven teams right now in the AFC, not to mention Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Houston, all of them. I mean, I think there's a lot of really good teams, and these games are going to be decided by these divisional games down the stretch beginning this week. So it's all up for grabs. All these divisions are up for grabs right now. And, you know, I think that we're going to see some great races here all the way to the finish line.
Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, joining us. Hashtag Baldy Breakdowns on Twitter. Baldy, one of the guys that you highlighted was Adoree Jackson for the job that he did against Josh Gordon this past week. I know statistically Gordon, I had about four catches, 82 yards, but one, he busted a cover two right down the middle and split the double team. So really, one-on-one, you saw a pretty good job out of Adoree Jackson. What did you see on film with Adoree Jackson going up against one of the biggest matchup problems in the league in Josh Gordon?
Well, two things I saw, Nick. First of all, he challenged him. He challenged him right up the line of scrimmage. And he wasn't afraid of the size difference or the speed difference. And when you watch Adoree run, he can run with Josh Gordon. And there's a lot of corners that can't run with him. And then he played the ball in the air very, very well. And, I mean, it was tight, sticky coverage. He turned to look for the ball. He didn't have a penalty guarding him. They threw to him 12 times. He had the four catches. And then there were some plays where he's not even in the stat page, but he defended Josh Gordon. And then there were some times where Brady wanted to go to him, and he had to go someplace else with it. So I think he frustrated Brady. But I saw a corner that got a chance to start and wants that job. And I think going forward, I think Adoree Jackson proved this week that if you've got an elite number one receiver, I don't know if T.Y. Hilton is that guy in Indianapolis. He has been. But if you want to match him up against the DeAndre Hopkins right now, against the T.Y. Hilton, if you're looking just in your own division, I believe Adoree Jackson put a lot on film last week that says this guy can do that.
Now, Baldy, after nine games, we are just a game over halfway in the NFL. Assess the job that Vrabel has done with this Tennessee Titans team.
I think he's been outstanding. I mean, first of all, you know, Derek, he comes in, it's a brand new system, mm-hmm. new way of doing things. You got to change the culture, all that stuff that people always say. You got to do that, though. You got all new schemes, new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. So you got to pay attention. You got to learn. But I think he has their attention right now. And, you know, I think they have a lot of really good players on that team, but I think they're really starting to play well together. I mean, they're playing a lot of rookies, Rashawn Evans right now, Harold Landry. They're out there a lot. You know, they picked up Kamale Correa. You know, he's starting for him right now. He's got a role. You got a lot of roles right now, but I think they're playing really well together. I think they're playing well as a team. And, you know, any coach would tell you that you want to play your best football down the stretch and towards the end of the season. And right now Tennessee is hitting that stride on all phases of the game. And so they're taking care of the football. They're doing all the little things right. And so, I don't know, if you look up after nine games and you've given up 15 touchdowns in 9 weeks, there's about 31 other teams that wish they were in that position right now. And I think Mike Vrabel has their attention, their full attention here, week in, week out right now. I think he's doing a great job.
Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network, you can follow him on Twitter, @BaldyNFL, the hashtag BaldyBreakdowns. Pretty much a free exclusive look inside an NFL film room if you just follow him on Twitter. Great stuff, Baldy. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, Nick. Anytime. Take care, Derek. I'll see you down the road.
Yep.
You got it.
Bye, Brian.
Okay.
There he is. Brian Baldinger. He's going to go back to chewing his gum. He's going to dim the lights. He's going to get his clicker out.
Man,
it's go time.
I swear, his film sessions, man,
they're great.
They have to be epic. Like, if you could just sit in on a film session with him, just epic.
Now, D, I want to show you the separation here.
You see it? You see it?
Corey Davis, fifth overall pick. That's what you want out of a kid when you take him number five. All right, coming up next, we're going to continue on with our Titans discussion. How does this team handle prosperity? You'll hear from Corey Curtis on the other side. Bottom of the hour, we'll get back to your Nashville Predators. Stay there. It's morning. Some like it hot and some sweat when the heat is on. Welcome back in the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5.
You know, I kind of felt like we were all at the lunchroom table last segment. Like, the three of us were eating lunch, and like the really cool popular girl came up to the table and was like talking to us.
Hi, Nick.
And it was like, hey, Nick. Hey, Derek.
And then, how you doing?
And then they left, and I was like, bye, Tiffany.
Who's Tiffany?
She came over to the table. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Baldy
Nick
was
like, hey, Tiff. Hey, Derek, how you doing?
Yeah. And
Brayden,
Jennifer.
Hold up.
I'm here, too.
It's, hey, Nick, how you doing? This? Oh, hey, Derek, how you doing?
Yeah.
That's just
right.
Your go-to?
No, that's damn right.
No, that's just what happens in his head. That's his internal mind.
No, that's what happened. That happened to me all the time in high school,
hey, you're sexy, good-looking man.
There's like, exactly. There's like a Derek.
That happened in high school all the time.
There's like a Derek filter interpreter. Like, you know, you can go to Google and like translate from English into Spanish or whatever. There's like a translator in Derek's head that translates from regular human talk into what Derek actually hears. Which is, damn, you look good.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Oh, with
how's
the
class?
With the quickness.
Oh. Hey, Derek, how you doing?
Good to see you, Jennifer. I'll see you in math class. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I felt like that with Brian Baldinger.
Oh, my
goodness. Baldinger's like, good to talk to you, Nick. Take it easy, Derek.
Well, what's worse?
Hey, Baldy, you get those notes?
Bye, Brian.
him not saying goodbye to you, the fact that 5 months ago I got called Steve by a guest.
Not by a guest, by Kermit Davis, the head basketball coach at Middle Tennessee
Good morning,
State,
Steve.
Currently at Old Mississippi. That was pretty funny.
He thought I was Steve Lehman.
I think he thought you were Lehman,
Steve.
Yeah.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, Steve had been doing a lot of radio at that time.
Oh, man.
I just instantly got shot back to middle tide. Connecticut, what's up, John?
Oh, I mean, to just run through all the drops I have? Or?
Yeah, let's just, you know, we should do a segment.
Can I get some Scott Cochran, please?
You just go through the whole board.
A drop segment.
Oh, is that Buck's laugh?
That was Buck's laugh.
By the way, he had a really good one yesterday when he was on with Darren and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Steve, at 10:15 yesterday, Buck, we gotta find that laugh. Very
Hang on. You just did something that this touches a nerve with the constable.
Oh,
when anyone is like, hey, we got to find that. No, there is no we. There's no we. You are not going to go sift through audio and find your silly little drop that you
we
want.
We sounded
There's
better.
There's no we.
We sounded better.
Well, what's really starting to be strange to me is your, Nick, obsession with Buck's laugh. That's starting to be a... he had a great one yesterday. Let's go get that.
It's just very...
It's a little weird.
Listen... You know,
hey, just because,
when Buck
just
is
because
on
you despise
his laugh,
Buck doesn't mean I have to.
You have this love fest.
But he doesn't
with
follow
Buck.
You, though, on Twitter.
Exactly.
Well, that's a different story for a different day.
Yeah. You but can hear a lot just, of his laughs if he followed
that?
You. Mm-hmm. Does he allow you to follow him?
Yeah, I follow him.
So you follow somebody that you see, on a regular basis, that don't follow you.
You're with me at the kids' table at the lunchroom just yelling, hey, Tiffany.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
You're just yelling, Buck!
Hey, Buck, I'm here. Buck, I followed you yesterday, remember?
Yeah. Buck is my Tiffany.
If you're named Tiffany, I'm not meaning to pick on you. You were probably popular in middle school, weren't you?
Tiffany's were popular. Tiffany's were popular in middle school.
All Tiffany's were popular.
They were popular in middle school. There was one popular Tiffany.
Would you rather have breakfast with Tiffany or breakfast with Buck?
Or do you rather have a Tiffany ring?
Or breakfast at Tiffany's?
I'd rather sell the Tiffany ring to go have breakfast with
There's
Buck.
A lot of women that would rather have the Tiffany.
Right. You think Gertrude was pretty popular?
Hell no.
No.
Bertha?
I've never had a Gertrude.
Bertha?
Never had a
You've
Bertha.
You've never had
no,
a
never
Gertrude.
Had a
what about an
you
Ethel?
You want to rethink
Ethel?
That
no.
phrase?
Never had an Ethel.
Ethel? That's a good one.
Snow, yeah.
How about Velma?
Velma? No. That's Scooby-Doo, ain't it?
It's my grandmother's name.
We were talking about Tiffany, so there you go.
But that's Scooby-Doo.
We gotta come back from break at 8:30 with Breakfast at Tiffany's. And okay. I said, "What?"
Yeah, no, we know the song. Yeah, we got one.
But do you remember the singer Tiffany?
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, I know.
I do not.
Can I? Okay, since we're already off the rails, I'll tell you a funny story. So
we'd have to be on the rails at some point to be
that's
off.
True. That's true. That's a fair point. So my mom is a teacher, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So she had in her pre-K class like 15 years ago, she had a kid that was, you know, constantly talking about his mom. Uh-huh. His mom's name was Tiffany. And she's like, one day he goes, yeah, my mom's Tiffany. And my mom looks at him and goes, yeah, look, I know, like, your mom's name is Tiffany. And he's like, no, she's Tiffany.
It turns out it was the Tiffany.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
It was back in your heyday, late 80s, yeah, D-Mace.
Absolutely.
When you were going to those high school dances.
Uh-huh. Hey, yeah. Yeah. Get it, girl.
With the high top fade.
Uh-huh.
Did you always say to
silk shirt?
Did you always say to yourself when you were dancing, get it, girl?
Hey, girl, get it, girl.
Is that what you're saying?
That was my
go-to. God, that was what I was doing wrong the whole time in middle school.
You didn't say, get it, girl.
All I should have been saying to people was, get it, girl.
Derek saying, get it, girl.
God, all of my problems have been solved.
Braden goes up to a girl and is like, so, did you see those yards per play for Auburn yesterday? That Jason Campbell, man, I tell you.
No, that was college.
Did you happen to watch the high school game
yesterday? I was more of a Damian Craig guy, all right?
and then Nick, you just hear, hey, pull your pants up, yeah. Damn!
Exactly. All right, we're going to get back into the Preds at the bottom of the hour, but let's get back into the Titans for a couple of minutes because we started off the show. One of the things we were discussing is how this team will handle prosperity. We saw this team start off 3-1. They've lost three in a row. They were seeking national attention. Kind of went in the tank a little bit. We heard from Vrabel earlier in the show. Now let's hear from Corey Curtis, who we had on yesterday, I believe in the second hour of the show. And I asked Corey about this team. How will they handle prosperity and success a second time around? Here's what Corey Curtis had to say from News 2.
Well, Nick, I think it's a great point. And it's something that's really impressed me about this coaching staff has been their ability to learn. You know, I felt like they learned they needed to run the football more and be more aggressive, and they've done that. I also think they learned that Philadelphia win was too big of a win for this team. And they came out and weren't ready at Buffalo. I mean, they laid turd on the field in Buffalo. They weren't ready to play. And so when you saw them beat the Cowboys on Monday night, Mike Vrabel was really boring in his post-game presser and just was like, I told him congratulations and let's go get ready for the next one. And they were really boring after this win because they're understanding that if the win is too exciting and too big, you know, yes, it's okay to enjoy it, but it has to be the expectation. And if it's the expectation, it doesn't become this overwhelming emotional high that you can't recover from. And I think, you know, that's why you hear them say the boring things of getting ready for the next one. It's a step in the process because it's all about creating that mentality of getting ready for the next game and not being too overjoyed with one victory because there's a long way to go. And I think their mentality, even just post-game, has changed.
Now, I found that interesting because Corey said the win for the Titans against the Eagles was too mm-hmm. big for them, couldn't handle it. So if you can't handle a 7-point win at home, overtime, walk-off type situation against a team that, yeah, they're the Super Bowl champs, but let's face it, they're not that good this year. How are you going to handle beating the Patriots by 24 points?
I don't think it was necessarily too big for them. And newsflash, every team tries to stick to this, you know, on to the next game, and we're just worried about the next game. That's where every head coach says, that's what every player, you know, try to say after a victory, on to next game. But I don't think it was necessarily too big for them. I think it was the fashion that they won. It was a dramatic game. It was a last second, you know, Corey Davis touchdown catch in overtime that won them the game. It's like a walk-off home run in the 12th inning and win the game, and everybody's just excited. But in baseball, it's different because you got to play the next night. Well, in football, you know, you get a week to kind of, you know, sit on it and gloat in it and everything else. So I don't think it was too big. I think the way they won, it had their emotions so high that then you start screaming, respect this, and y'all need to understand who we are and all this other stuff, instead of, you know, enjoying it and then allowing it to kind of marinate and allowing it to kind of dissipate over time. They kept it with them, you know, and they carried it into this whole respect thing, so
well,
to speak.
And they hadn't been humbled yet at that
exactly.
point. They hadn't been humbled yet. They lost the game to Miami, but that was strange circumstances, mm-hmm. 7.5 hours. We can go down the list of all the weirdness that happened. Losing Delanie Walker, Mariota gets hurt, blah, 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 blah. But they hadn't been humbled yet. And they got humbled by Buffalo. Then they got really humbled by Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And it was a humbling experience for this team. I think they had to go through that experience to now know how to handle this experience, right? So you go through that experience and you go, oh, we got a little too big for our britches there. Let's bring it back down to earth. That should allow them to handle this success better. That's what the whole point of going through that learning process is all about, is now how do we react to this situation? And I think they got humbled. When they went to Buffalo, they got humbled. When Baltimore played them, you sure as heck know they got humbled. Now they know what can happen if they don't stay on top of everything. And I think that is what's key to all of this, is go out and don't be humbled by Indianapolis, because Andrew Luck can make you feel bad about yourself if you're not careful.
But guys are creatures of habit, and so are coaches too. But guys more or less are creatures of habit. And they're not going to change what they're doing necessarily just because they won a big game. Like, they're not going to come in the next morning and just be late for a meeting, or not go out there and get on the jugs machine for an extra 10 minutes like they have been doing the prior 3 or 4 weeks. They're not built that way. Vrabel's right. This is all on him, because as a first year head coach, he can't allow himself to start feeling more or less feeling himself. Okay, yeah, I'm doing a good job as a head coach. Look where we at as a team. Yes, these are all the things that I wanted to do. I've done them. Yes, pat myself on the back. He can't do that. He can't allow himself to do that. That's why he said, a lot of this is on me as a head coach. I got to stick to protocol. I can't, just because my team go on a 3-game winning streak, I can't all of a sudden say, hey, guys, you know what? We ain't going to have this meeting this week. Y'all can go out and enjoy yourselves. We ain't going to come in on Friday. You can't do that. The great teams don't do it. Just because we on a 3-game winning streak, we got to hunker down a little bit more now, because everybody's coming after us.
This Friday, the Ford Ice Center is offering a free public skate from 7:30 to 9 p.m. for any skater that brings 3 or more non-perishable food items to donate. All donations will be made and be benefiting the branch of Nashville right here in Antioch. Leading up to the skate, there will be some great high school hockey that evening, as well as MTSU taking on UAH. The Ford Ice Center, located at 5264 Hickory Hollow Parkway in Antioch. When we come back, all good things come to an end. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Knocked in, Lindholm, tapped away from him for a moment by Turris. And now a shot and a score from the left circle by Kevin Fiala. The puck just came out of that left wing corner, and Fiala buried it.
Yeah, it was Kevin Fiala last night on the Preds Radio Network. Pete Weber with the call. His second goal of the year. First goal in his last 10 games. But that would be all the scoring for the Nashville Predators, as Anaheim gets a 2-1 victory in the fourth round of the shootout last night, ending the Preds' undefeated record away from Bridgestone Arena. Preds lose 2-1 last night, so let's talk about that game for a couple of minutes here. I think we all realize you're obviously not going to keep winning consistently like that on the road, but one of those games last night where Pekka was really good, but again, the power play, that's probably the only thing you can really nitpick at, because right now, I believe you said, Braden, it's dead last in the league.
Yeah, dead last in the league. They went 0-for-7 last night on the power play. They went 12 minutes without a shot in the second period. And I know Gibson's played pretty good hockey so far this season. I haven't watched a lot of him play, but his numbers are really good. And certainly Anaheim wants to play that style of game. They came off a really bad defeat, 5-1 to Minnesota. So you knew they were going to be fired up. And always you understand when Anaheim and Nashville get together, there's some extra animosity there. And let's be very clear, Pekka-Rinne had a SportsCenter number two play of the game last night with his save that was just insane. John Gibson's save on Ryan Johansson wasn't much worse. It was spectacular. What looked like an open net and a game-tying goal or game-winning goal turned out to be a phenomenal save by Gibson. So Fiala does get off the Schneid, which is a good sign. That's a positive step. And, oh, by the way, they get a point. So in a game where you played a different style than you're used to, your power play wasn't good, your offense wasn't all that great, you still got a point out of the deal on the road. So you knew the 8-0 record or the 7-0 record had to come to an end at some point. They were, I think the Buffalo Sabres 06-07 was the record at 10 straight wins to start the season on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be an unlikely accomplishment. Who cares? It's not that important. What matters is you are a great road team and, oh, by the way, a great home team as well. So just keep that going. They do need to fix the special teams, though. That is the concern. And here's the thing. Last year it was taking too many penalties was the issue with this team. This year, to me, I'm just not worried about the power play. And you guys call me crazy if you want to, but with that amount of weaponry, and by the way, Victor Arvidsson back on IR, so not a part of the power play last night. If you tell me that this team is healthy and together for 15, 20, 30 games going into the playoffs, I'm just not worried about their talent level. They will find ways to figure out how to execute on the power play. They're too talented on offense.
You mentioned the word weaponry. Are you surprised, considering the weaponry they have, that when they have a 5-on-4, as gifted as this team is, they can't find the net?
Well, go ahead, dude.
I mean, it's yes, you are, but it's a part of the game that no matter how good you are as the team, it might. You know, you might be lacking in that area. I equate it to football. It's we know how good some teams are, but then they get down to the red zone and they have problems punching it in. They're getting points, but it's not 7 points. It's 3 points. But out in the field, I mean, they're the best team in football. And they have the talent to do it. You just can't figure out why. Well, if you have the talent, why can't you get this phase of your game corrected? I am worried about it moving forward for the Predators, because if as the season continues to go on and guys get injured and guys are getting tired, you're going to start seeing more and more power play opportunities for the opposing team and the Preds. So this is an area that you need to start getting corrected. It's like running a football. Yeah, we're not too worried about it right now, but come November, December, where, you know, bodies are tired and you need to run a football, that's when you need to get things corrected. So, yes, it's not a big problem now because they're winning, they have firepower, they're scoring, but come late in the season, if they don't get it fixed going into the playoffs, it's going to rear its ugly head.
No, I totally agree with that. I want to say, so Lavi's first season, they were 25th in the NHL in power play percentage. So that's not good at all, but didn't have nearly the same talent. Then they got to 10th in his second season, so they were 10th that season. Then they were 16th, and then they were 12th. Mm-hmm. So 25, 10, 16, 12. So really, on the whole, during Peter Laviolette's run here as the head coach, they've been between 10 and 16. Basically, you take out the 25 in the first year and say, all right, that's a very different team, very different roster. You know, no PK Subban, no Ryan Johansson, no any of these guys. And so let's just go the 3 years before this one, right? 10, 16, 12. That's upper half, but still in the middle.
10, 16, 12, okay.
It's about average, but it's a little bit better than average. If they finish the 12th best power play in the league this year, that would be a really good second half to the season.
Yeah, but they can't be last.
I agree with you. It cannot be last. But what I'm saying is I think if you gave them fully healthy with all these weapons, a 25-game stretch leading into the playoffs, I'm assuming those issues are going to work themselves out because they are too talented on offense when they put their power play together. Now,
didn't we say that about the whole penalty thing last year, and it never worked itself out?
That's a little different. That's a discipline issue, right?
Yeah, this is execution.
This is about do you have offensive talent, and we know they've got offensive talent, so it makes no sense for them to be bad on the power play. It feels like a funk. It feels like just an anomaly. Remember the 3-on-3 hockey, and Chase, I don't know if you got the numbers, but they were one of the worst teams in the NHL, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, in 3-on-3 hockey. in terms of overtime. They just, for whatever reason, they just weren't winning those games ever. They were the worst team in the NHL. Worst, second worst, third worst, somewhere in there. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But all of a sudden, that trend started to even itself out a little bit and started to shift back, and they start to, and Kyle Turris scores the goal. Mm-hmm. You know, Ekholm scores the goal in overtime. Like, they're starting to show that they can win those 3-on-3 situations. They're too much talent, mm-hmm. but not then, to be good in those situations.
But you're right when you say that the whole penalty thing was discipline. But I can also say that the power play is discipline too, because maybe you're not where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Maybe
true.
You're not doing the things that Coach Lavia is asking you to do, you know, during the power play chances.
That goes
along with being a disciplined team and paying attention to detail.
I've always just been fascinated by extended power play problems, mm-hmm. whether it's with the Preds or any team in the NHL. I mean, just simply, you have a 5-on-4 or a 5-on-3 and you can't find the net. It almost gets, and when you see it for extended periods of time, it's like watching baseball and they put a shift on for a certain hitter and they're giving you a certain portion of the field and mm-hmm. you either refuse to go to that field or you just can't get over there.
Well, here's the flip side of this. Who's number one in the NHL right now on the power play? Winnipeg. And here's the difference between 12% and 34%. I mean, think about that. They've scored 16 times in 47 chances. The Predators have scored 8 times in 66 chances. Mm-hmm. So not only are the Predators, they've got two. They are, for every 2 power plays the Jets get, the Predators are getting 3. They're getting a third more power plays than the Jets are. And the Jets are scoring twice as often. So that's that when you start talking 34%, now I don't think they can maintain that clip, but 34% power play versus 12, that's the difference in a series very mm-hmm. easily. So they got to get the issues worked out. They obviously know about that. It's not that big a deal. They know that they'll work it out. I would be shocked if this offensive collection of players
can't figure it out. Is
last in the power play. I would be shocked at that. Now, could the 22nd best power play, which is not great, still affect you in the playoffs? Absolutely. That could be an issue.
All right, Preds back at it tonight in San Jose, and then they go to Arizona Thursday night, so a couple of more out on the West Coast before they return home on Saturday. When we return, it's time for Stick to Sports. That's next on Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Whoa! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Morning Drive.
I feel good.
We feel good. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Every time I hear this song, takes me back to the Mrs. Doubtfire movie when he was doing the thing as Mrs. Doubtfire, Robin Williams. I could actually see Chase McCabe mm-hmm. in his little apartment cooking butter noodles playing this song.
Wearing a dress?
Just hit a $5
parlay.
Wearing
a dress and a wig?
Well, no.
How many movies do we think this has been in?
A lot.
Lord.
Yeah. And $5 parlays. We've graduated.
Oh, you moved up. All right.
No longer five.
$6. Seven.
I'm going to risk $7 to win $22. All right.
I'll take it, Chase.
Let's stick to sports.
Let's see how smart the guys really are. No funny business. Stick to sports. Now on Morning Drive.
And Derek, it would be brought to you by...
Hey, there's nothing on this paper. No, I'm just kidding.
Turn it around.
I'm just kidding.
Kelly Bundy.
By the way, I was driving listening to your read yesterday. Were you doing it like with a microphone?
I did. Brought to you by Decorating Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorating Den.
Will you ever read it normal?
Ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces? Request a complimentary appointment online. Brayden, what does complimentary mean?
For free.
For free, people, at www.decoratingden.com.
How would
I have no idea what combination of voices you were just doing there. It started out as a robot, finished as a lady.
How would Brian Baldinger read it?
That sounds like a really bad sci-fi movie.
By the way, I got you. I feel good. Big Chill, Nutty Professor, Good Morning Vietnam, Home Alone 4, Mr. Jones, It Takes Two, Dr. Dolittle, Boat Trip, on and on and on and on and on. Sorry.
Good Morning Vietnam!
I love that movie.
What was
so
that
much.
For?
That's James Brown.
Yeah.
I feel good.
So that song was
been
okay.
In.
Okay.
And there's like 12 more in here too.
Yeah,
but
Nick,
the Big Chill, Good Morning Vietnam, The Big Chill, two of the best movies you'll ever watch.
Mm-mm.
Check them out there at decoratingden.com.
We're just going to listen to this all day.
Let's go.
This is what we're going to do. Okay, so we start things off with a bang. A satanic temple is suing Netflix and Warner Brothers for $150 million because they claim that they used a copyrighted statue in a new show that is entitled The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is a reboot of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I love
Witch.
It.
Melissa Joan
I love
Hart?
The show. I've watched it
you
already.
You watched the one on Netflix that you signed
yes.
on?
Yes. I watched it already. Love
but
it.
It's not Melissa Joan Hart.
How
right?
is
no,
you,
it's not.
How is it that
it's
you've
not.
Seen literally everything that's been put out by Netflix?
Which because is, it's like...
Because he leaves the show and he goes home with the dogs
Netflix.
And
yeah,
watches
man.
Netflix.
So this is what house you shoes. Do?
It's like, cold, man, now. It's cold. I'm hibernating.
Post-NFL
retirement? He's literally Netflixing and chilling.
I'm literally Netflix and chill. Netflix and chill.
Play 15 years in the league and then watch Netflix.
So is this Satanic Temple, where's it located?
I don't know.
So they...
Baphomet?
Baton Rouge.
Somewhere. There we go, Baton Rouge.
What? Wouldn't be that startling.
Man, Tiger football.
Go Tigers.
Satanic Temple... is upset about trademarking?
Yeah, I would they be too.
I feel like they're... But
they
I feel like
look. They claim their goat-headed statue is copyrighted.
It's copyrighted. I'd like be upset too.
I feel like the Satanic Temple has other priorities.
Yeah, but right? they want to get their money. I would too.
Not if you believe in the Dark Lord.
Why do you need money? They got to get the money,
money
up. Maybe the Dark Lord say...
The
hey,
temple
I need
is
my
claiming. Here you go. I'll just read it for you. The temple is claiming copyright
like
infringement, trademark violation, and injury to business, according to the suit filed Thursday in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York, and seeks damages of $50 million for each claim. So,
so
a total
it's in
of
New York.
$50 million. Well, they filed it in the District Court. Yeah, so it's so somewhere up there.
Somewhere in the state of New York. Mm, huh?
Okay.
Y'all ever seen that movie Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah, it's good.
It's a creepy movie.
Yeah, creepy.
Number
good.
Two.
I'm.
Wasn't it New York? Now. Wasn't it based in New York?
John in Connecticut. Mm. What's up, John?
I believe that mansion in
Who
Eyes Wide
Stan
Shut.
Lee?
I believe the mansion in Eyes Wide Shut was in Yonkers, actually.
Charlie.
We'll get to Stan Lee in a second, but Dubai police are now training their officers to ride a drone-like hover bike. If you go on the internet, look at pictures of this. It's like a giant drone. You sit on it like a motorcycle, and it hovers. What an age we live in.
I love
so
it.
So these like the things from Star Wars, essentially? The
the speeders?
The speeders. Oh.
Kind of.
It looks like a little personal helicopter. It looks like a drone that you sit on, like the ones you buy at Costco.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ride on that.
I love to ride on
it. Yeah, but if you fall off, you're going right into a blade.
And these are in Dubai for what position is this? Officers?
Officers, man.
Have
you seen the car?
Let me just let my deputies know. They will not be good.
Look at this, Derek. If you fall off, though, you're falling right into a blade.
Have you seen the police cars in Dubai?
No.
They're all luxury cars.
Well, of course, it's Dubai.
Yeah, so riding that is not too far-fetched.
They have tennis courts on the 100th floor of the hotel.
Yeah.
Like... You've seen that tennis court,
oh,
right?
I love this, man. I would ride this in a heartbeat.
I would, too, but if you fall off, you're falling into a rotating blade that's strong enough to keep you up off the ground.
Will the constable ever have a drone? Or is that out of
well,
the budget?
Well, you know
the
budget
constable?
I have to work with, so you can answer your own question.
Yeah, pretty much so.
So probably not. Because it's my own.
Number three.
So sticking with drones, this comes from the Czech Republic. There were some... bicyclists that were riding around and they saw a drone flying, so they climb up a water tower to get a better view and to take a cell phone video. Mm-hmm. Well, while they did that, the drone flies over their bike, a little hook comes down and it takes the bike.
What? Are you serious?
Oh my God.
Where was this at?
Czech Republic.
Yeah, oh wow, should have known.
Hang on. What's the anti-Czech Republic stance for?
Czech Republic.
Just doesn't
why.
Surprise me.
Doesn't check out.
What do you know about Czech Republic, either of you?
Not a damn thing.
That they just stole a bike? That a drone just stole a bike?
They make amazing pastries called kolaches that you can get in East Nashville.
I don't care. I don't eat
them. Dude, it's a donut.
I don't
eat
it.
Wrapped around some sausage.
Oh, definitely.
It's spectacular.
It's a heart attack waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's spectacular.
Yeah. That sounds spectacular.
Yeah, I won't
eat
it.
It's meat. Oh, my God. The cream cheese one? It's
that's
a cream cheese. It's like a donut.
It's just screaming, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's screaming.
So is everything else we eat, Derek.
I'm just saying that in particular.
Once I read that too much water was bad for you, and I said the hell with it. I'm just going to eat what I want.
All I know is that I know that a kolache is from the Czech Republic, and that means I know more about the Czech Republic than both of you two knuckleheads. Mm-hmm. Don't be ripping on the Czech Republic for no reason.
Hey, Czech Republic. Number four. They got good Czechs.
So you're not eating the sausage wrapped in a donut?
They got good hockey players?
Yeah.
Remember back in the day, my dad would be like, just eat whatever you want. You just got to burn it off. Yeah, you want to eat five slices of pizza? That's fine. Just get on the treadmill for 40 minutes. That was my dad's thoughts on nutrition and exercise back in the day.
Pop the kale.
Died of a heart attack.
Oh, my God. Are you being serious?
No, it's just the irony of the whole thing. You know.
Hold on, hon.
But no, he actually died of a heart attack?
Yeah.
You can't say that.
You don't
that,
just get to
Nick,
throw that
no,
in.
I'm just kidding. He didn't die of a heart attack. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, oh, my God.
Exactly.
So is your dad alive or not?
No, he's dead.
Nick, you can't do it. Oh, my goodness.
What?
Papa Kale, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry to the whole Kale family.
He's sorry, too. Trust me. He's embarrassed.
Oh, my God.
What just happened?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Did you yada, yada, yada your entire dad. Exactly. You're like, yada, 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 died of a heart attack.
Go to number four. Go to number four.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry for your father's passing.
Cool. It's all good. We all got to go someday.
Well, speaking of dying, Stan Lee died at the age of 95, the creator of Marvel Comics.
Now, his name is Stan Lee. Not
Stan Lee.
Stan Lee. Yeah.
I think he's an injured linebacker for the Cowboys.
Mike Francesa did not know who he was, which doesn't surprise anybody. Yeah. But anyway, died at the age of 95 yesterday, created Captain America, the Avengers, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Simple question. What's your favorite Marvel character?
Now, I'm going to sound really stupid here because I'm a Batman guy. Is Batman?
That's DC.
That's DC.
Okay. Yeah.
Spider-Man never did anything for me.
Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's not
it. It was a cool story when I was a kid, but I guess I'd go X-Men probably.
Yeah,
do you have a specific X-Men? One?
Does the X-Men count as one, though? Because
no.
They are the team.
You have to pick a team.
Wolverine?
Yeah, Wolverine's probably my favorite as a kid, probably.
I'm not surprised. You're a big Jim Harbaugh guy. So.
That's true. I do like Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. Iron Man's cool. I like Iron Man.
Iron Man's cool.
Well, because Tony Stark is just a smart butt.
Mm. Yes.
I'm more and more starting to like Black Panther because he's cool.
Yes, he is.
He's cool. Yes, I like him. He's cool.
I'm on board with Black Panther.
And he got a lot of money, too.
Superman.
And he's a handsome guy.
Why is it always got to be a black thing?
This time it is. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to cast ourselves as characters
I'm the Black Panther.
In cartoons.
Yes, I am the Black Panther.
Superheroes, and you get to be the Black Panther.
Absolutely. Hmm. So I won't fault y'all.
Actually, you know what? You guys are all wrong. The best is Halle Berry playing Storm.
Yeah, she was great.
Is
winner.
Cool.
Good
call.
Winner.
Storm is cool.
Good call.
I was listening to Golic and Wingo talk about this, and that one of them brought up Gambit. Gambit was awesome. Remember him in the X-Men?
He threw cards at people.
He could turn the cards into like a bomb, essentially.
Although,
but he could turn his staff into one, too.
Jennifer Lawrence is in a couple of those movies, right?
Her character. I love her character.
I like that blue suit she's got on.
Yeah. Because she could transform into anybody.
Yeah, she can do anything.
Yeah.
Rebecca Romijn was also on.
Oh. How about, was January Jones, like the one where she could turn into like that ice dragon thing or whatever? I'm pretty sure January Jones was in one of the X-Men movies.
I think you're right.
She was like Magneto's like right hand.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Magneto's pretty cool,
too. I'm a big fan of January Jones.
Magneto's pretty cool.
Professor Xavier.
I think she's an excellent actress.
Professor Xavier? I don't know.
He had mind control.
Yeah, he did.
Professor X is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Rogue was cool.
But I am.
Oh, what do you got to do? Take some meds over there?
Why is somebody calling me?
Dude,
like,
I have literally gotten six phone calls this morning.
I'm at work.
And they're all from different numbers, but they're all 615.
Like, seriously?
I'm like, y'all don't know me.
Exactly. Y'all don't know me.
I think
you calling me like
Hi,
that.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah. Is this Brandon? One day we should take a phone call live on the air.
Brandon,
that calls us.
Brandon Gale?
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Shut up, Brian.
All right. That'll do it for another edition of Stick to Sports.
You are really dumb.
See you in geography, Tiffany.
All right. Here's what we got coming up in the final hour of the show, assuming it's not canceled. Chris Mason is going to join us 9:30. We've got the big finish at 9:45. But when we come back, Jeremy Pruitt was on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday. We'll talk about whether or not Pruitt could actually win SEC Coach of the Year. That's next here on Morning Drive.